your Bibles again to Luke, the 10th chapter. You find the story there of the Good Samaritan. In the days of Jesus, the scribes and the teachers of the law, many young disciples followed them around, and one of these young men that questioned Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Chapter 10, verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' And he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this story of the Good Samaritan. And Lord, each one of us tonight are traveling that road. And Lord, I pray that we'll find ourselves loving people, not for what people can do for us, but what we can do for Jesus. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I asked myself many times, which one would I be? The priest that looked at the man and passed the other way? The Levite who looked and saw him and just went on? Or the Samaritan who was really disliked by the Jewish people? Dogs would have nothing to do with them. Yet the Bible says he stopped and helped him. Helping the hurting. You know, this young man began to argue with Jesus, and Jesus knew that he asked the wrong question, because he said, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" We can't do anything, can we? Jesus Christ did that for us on Calvary. And then Jesus says, "You know the law, how do you read it?" And he wanted to trip Jesus up and test Jesus, but he answered the law right by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You've answered rightly, now go and do that." And he knew he couldn't do that, because what? Love comes from God. Love comes from God. So Jesus just destroyed that very foundation of this man's religion, and he was trying to work his way into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus just tore that all down. Now, here's the dilemma. No man can make himself love. It has to be our Lord and Savior. Love comes from God. And this, the Bible says he desiring to justify himself. Many times we want to justify ourselves before God, don't we? We want us ourselves to do what's right, to look what's right, to be that right kind of a person, and we try to justify our actions many times. I see people trying to justify what they do all the time. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, where are we tonight along this road? The road from Jerusalem to Jericho, if you've ever been down that way, and we passed by that way, and it's a deep valley. It was called the road of death or the way of blood, because so many robbers would hide there and catch an unsuspecting person coming along and rob them, beat them, take their money. So we see ourselves in three different people along this road. One is the thieves. The thieves are those who take, don't they? They always take. I look around outside these walls, and I find there's people out there that would kill you in a heartbeat if you had money on you and they thought they could get it and take it. They go by the old law as, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. And I want yours at any cost. They don't worry about how bad they hurt someone. I think about the news all the time when I see someone walking into a grocery store in Dallas or wherever it might be. And folks, we are, the crime has moved in our areas too. And they'll walk into a grocery store and they'll kill someone, a man who's worked there his life trying to make an honest living. And they'll kill him over just a little bit of money and take his life and ruins his family's life because they've lost a father, or maybe it's a mother, or our children. These kind of people are out there in the world, the ones who hurt, the thugs, the drug sellers, the dope heads, the alcoholics, those out there for greed. And then there's not only those, there's the what we call respectable people that will also steal from you and take your money and cheat you. You see, the children who neglect their parents is one of these, and the parents who neglect their children. You see, the world is in a world of hurt. And employees and employers who do not pay a decent wage, and employees that steal from their bosses and things like that. You see, along the Jericho Road, there's those thieves that are always out there to steal and to kill. And are we those kind of people? And then there's those who robbed, are the ones that have been robbed, the ones that are taken. And I ask myself, well, are you the one that's taken? That's the poor, the unnamed person that may live on the street or push a shopping cart and pick up garbage and try just to have a life of living a simple life and starving, and we pass them by. His life may be like a drunkard that lives himself in a car. You know, we've had those in our family. We've seen them. I've watched them go. Many times I will help someone out like that because I know where they're coming from. And I don't want to see them hurt anymore. And we think about those kind of people. Are the elderly whose mind wanders and we look the other way? We forget about them. The forgotten ones that are in our families, and the child maybe that's been born to parents and cannot afford things for life. We talked about this morning, our church and Brother Tony's kids, we call them, feeding the kids that do not have a lunch or may not be able to eat over the weekend because the schools, they're not at school. You'd be surprised how many, Tony was telling me, how many children in our school district, they're looking for a sack. The teachers give them a sack of food. They don't tell them where it comes from or who it comes from. At the end of the day, they know the kids that don't have any food in their house for a week, and they'll take that sack and give it to them as they go out, and they'll take it home so that they can have a sandwich to eat. Now, folks, that goes on in our own city. Or the unnamed man or woman who's unable to repay you in any way, or form, or fashion, that just needs some help. Are we the ones that take? Are we the ones that help those? You see? And then there's the ones that who keep. I think here the priest is listening. Those who keep. He's a preacher. The priest. Surely, if anybody will help you, it'll be a preacher. But no. He passes by on the other side. He turns his head. Maybe it's because he thinks he's too busy. Maybe he's going to a meeting and he's in a hurry to get there, whatever. You know, there's really no reason I can think of that when we see someone in distress that we shouldn't help them. But we've all done it, haven't we? We passed by someone that was hurting and we, you know, we didn't fix their flat for them because we thought, well, I got on clean clothes. I'm not going to get wet or dirty today. Or we've helped them along the way. You see, those things are our lives. And Jesus talks about the neighbor. Who is our neighbors? Who do we help in life? Are we the thieves that rob the man or beat him up or just don't care for other people? Are we the priest that walks along and sees, or the Levite? You see, the Levite passed him by also. He did not care for the man. He looked at him. He at least went over and looked at him, but he certainly didn't help him. You see, that layperson, that deacon, I'll say deacon, did we have a deacon meeting today? Let me ask. I wasn't here. Somebody said, we had a deacon meeting today, and I said, I don't know if you did. I wasn't here. Well, if y'all had it, well, I hope you had fun. But, you know, we dedicate our lives to God, and yet many times we are like this Levite. We pass the person by. Or we just go wide. We know that they're there, and we don't want to make eye contact, so we go around them. Too much to bother with. A lot of times we say, well, we'd just rather give money than to help do something. And a lot of times that is not the answer. You know, getting involved with people's lives wins more people to Christ than just giving, throwing money at the situation. In our generation, we'd rather throw money at the situation, and then we had to really get involved and help. But in the process, our hearts and our conscience are far from really that person's need. You know, we can't visit the people. We can't see the people, so we'll let them pass by. We cannot wash that guilt away from our hands, no more than Pilate could wash his hands of the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet he tried, didn't he? Jesus says, who is your neighbor? Certainly not the robbers, certainly not the priests, and certainly not the Levite, the layperson. But then there's those who give. And that's the Samaritans. His philosophy was, what's mine is yours and you can have it. I will help anyone along the way. He was despised. He was hated in the eyes of the Jews. Yet he had a sense of humanity about him. He had a sense of decency about him. He took the man that was wounded and bandaged him up as well as he could. The Bible says he poured oil on his wounds and wine. He tried to treat him the best he could. He was one of life's most despised people. Yet the love came from God, didn't it? He loved God, and he gave of himself. Folks, I believe we can't really give until we love. And we can't love if we're not willing to give. And sometimes these Samaritans, despised and rejected, were those unsaved, those thousands who would never darken the door of a church, I find so many times have more compassion than the priest, have more compassion than the layperson. You see? Where are we in this road of life? Not only that, he offered help. He didn't just take out his wallet and pay for the man's care. He said, I will take care of what else there needs to be done when I get back. You see, he personally was willing to sacrifice and give of himself. You know, it's possible, isn't it possible for us to get involved personally if we don't love God? And then people say, you know, we have to go all over the world to have missions. Well, there's missions right here in our own church, in our own area. I think the food deal we talked about this morning, that's a mission work of our church. It could be. You see, we do all kinds of things. Mission work is going to help an elderly out. Someone said the other day, Miss Shirley, I don't know if she's listening or not tonight. I don't know if we got that speaker on, but Miss Shirley was telling me that she needed a ramp to her house. It got to where she couldn't get up anymore of the steps, and she needed a ramp. And she said, one of the ladies she worked with said, I can do that, Shirley. And she come out there and built that ramp, Miss Shirley. And I was thinking, a lady built that ramp? Man, she's more qualified than some of our men, because I wouldn't have a clue how to build a ramp. And she's been walking in home building shows, I guess. But, you know, can't you see how we ought to do stuff like that? Can't you see how God wants us to love one another and help one another out? Whether it's mowing a yard, whether it's building a fence, whether it's doing something, you know, you can't outgive God. And that's just not money, folks. That's your way of life. You can visit the lonely. You can help the hungry. You can teach the educated and uneducated to help. There's all kinds of things we can do. Jesus said when he came back, he said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The other night, Tom and I was down at Recklaw, and we stopped at the Haystack. The Haystack is a nice place to eat. It's in Recklaw. If you're ever downtown there, you won't miss it. It's the only thing open. But I noticed on a little girl's T-shirt as she came in, it had this passage of Scripture. And I thought, you know, I'm preaching that Sunday, and she has that. And on the side of the T-shirt, on the other side of the T-shirt, it had that passage of Scripture where it says the laborers are few. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And I was thinking about, you see, we are ministers for God wherever we go. And the couple sitting by us, I told them at the end, I told Rhonda, I said, you know, they held hands and they prayed before they ate. And you don't see that much in restaurants anymore. And so when I stood up, I said, I couldn't help but notice that you prayed before you ate. Are you Christians? And they said, yes. And it does your heart good to know that people are out there that do love and care. This man was just one of many on the road of life that had God's love for people. Not denominations, not race, just a love. And he offered that professional help. Man, he took him to an inn. Back in those days, inns were really places of mercy, a hospital, a place where you could get help. And because of this man taking care, he took him to an inn where he would be well taken care of and well fed and well treated, even though many times our churches have failed to do so in the past. I pray that our churches will be institutions to help and care for people. And this evening, we're on that road. We're on that road. This evening, where is this church on that road? This evening, where is your life on that road? Are you one who gives? Are you one who takes? Are you one who passes by on the other side? You know, there's so many opportunities to pray for people. There's so many opportunities just to give words of encouragement. Every day, we see people that do that. We all have problems in life. And I was down visiting my sister the other day. She cut my hair, by the way. She did a pretty good job of it. Didn't charge me a penny. I told her that one time. I said, man told me, he said, I got a haircut that didn't cost me but 50 cents. And I said, it looks like it. And I said, this is free, sissy. And she said, well, it looks like it. But she's, her husband just found out he has cancer also. And she said in her Facebook deal a few weeks back, she had just come through the hardest nine years or 8 years of her life because she lost her other husband to cancer. And a young lady losing the husband to cancer and having to continue on, that's tough. And I never thought of much about it being so tough on her. But then I realized what she was going through. And then the other day she called me and said, Booney, would you pray for me? Charles has got cancer. And I thought to myself, she's fixing to go back through that situation again in life. We need more compassion. We need more compassion. Even as a brother, we need more compassion for people. And I find myself on that road. And I thought, man, I hope I'm not the priest or the preacher that passes by on the other side and doesn't turn turns a deaf ear to people who need help. I hope I'm not the Levite that would look at the situation and say, you know, it's too big for me. I think I'll go my way. But I hope I'm like the Samaritan, one that may be despised by the world. But yet he says, listen, I've got the love of Jesus in my life, and I'm going to help. Which one are you tonight? We're all on that road. Just ask yourself. Jesus says, who is your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Go love them, and you shall live too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this lesson, Lord, on who is our neighbor. And Lord, I pray tonight that we'll look at our own hearts and our own lives and just see what we do things for and where we go and what we do. And Lord, we might give you honor and praise by the way we live. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.